From iCare Partners, this is the Doc to Doc podcast, clinical discussions with our team of world-class eye care professionals across the country. Through connectedness and continuing education, we help patients see their absolute best for life. Your host is Dr. Lori Preventure, a glaucoma specialist and cataract surgeon at the Cincinnati Eye Institute.
For this episode of the Doc to Doc podcast, I have Dr. Rob Weinstock with me. Dr. Weinstock is a cataract and refractive surgeon in Tampa, Florida. Welcome. Thank you for coming. Give us a little bit of your background, Lori, with ECP.
Well, I was in private practice for 20 years. I joined a well-established multi-specialty practice in Tampa Bay, Florida, with offices in Largo, Clearwater, St. Petersburg, and Tampa. And we've grown the practice substantially and added a lot of providers and optometrists and multi-specialty providers throughout ophthalmology. We became part of the ECP family just about a year ago, going on a year now, and we thought it was a really good move for us to help us continue to grow and handle some of the growth opportunities, because we needed more resources and more capital for building surgery centers and adding providers and helping with the leadership and taking the practice to the next level.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about a topic that I think is very relevant to the entire platform: the refractive cataract surgery patient. What exactly is refractive cataract surgery, and how do you identify these patients? Maybe out in the community, how are we finding those patients that might be interested in something like this?
You know, refractive surgery really was conceived when LASIK started, in a way. And that was kind of the first real refractive surgery, corneal-based refractive surgery, to get people out of glass and contacts. But over the past 10 to 20 years, the cataract or lenticular-based surgery has really become the new space around refractive surgery, with all the different lenses and astigmatism management and correction and presbyopia and specific targeting of patients. So refractive cataract surgery is basically going forward from here, all cataract surgery, all patients who come in for cataract surgery should be looked at by the surgeon and the team of optometrists or whoever the provider is, as a refractive procedure. It's not just about taking out the cataract, putting in a basic lens, and giving the patient a pair of glasses to wear for the rest of their life. And the patient's expectations have changed, and most cataract surgery going down the road will have a refractive component to it. So that's how we approach all patients, even if they have glaucoma, even if they have retinal disease, even if they have dry eye, even if they like wearing glasses. That doesn't mean you can't attempt to at least try to minimize their spectacle needs at the time of cataract surgery so they can be more functional and be safer, actually, as they get older and less dependent on glasses or contacts to help them survive in life and get by. So it's really approach. It's really a methodology of taking the right history and the right approach with a patient, having the right skill set and the right tools in your surgery center, and making the right decision with your patient about how to optimize their vision and what makes the most sense for them in their life and with their conditions or pre-existing conditions.
I like what you're saying. It seems like every patient deserves to have this option presented to them despite their comorbidities or their situation. It sounds like a lot of the success of this approach hinges on careful planning and counseling. Walk me through that. What sort of tests are you ordering, and how do you talk to these patients to manage their expectations?
The history of how someone lives their life and their use of contact lenses or glasses when they come in to see you is a huge component of this. Are they wearing their glasses all the time for all ranges of vision? Are they myopic, and do they take their glasses off to read at night in bed or in front of the computer all day and just wear glasses to drive? Do they wear monovision contacts? Are they a natural monovision, as one cataract is developed in one eye and maybe not as bad as in the other? What are their goals? Are they interested in trying to be able to go from being a myopic person their whole life to becoming distance-oriented and wearing reading glasses? Are they interested in extended depth of field or multifocal optics? Will that work well with the health of their eye, or is it not a good option for them? These are complicated decisions, and not to be taken lightly, because you're going to deal with the aftermath if you make a bad decision, no matter how good the eye looks. Preoperatively, that history is critical. And then in terms of testing, all patients who get cataract surgery, in my opinion, should get a topography, or even more than a topography, a corneal analysis device that can look at the anterior and posterior curvatures of the cornea, so you can pick up on subtle changes to the cornea that can affect what lens you would recommend for the patient. It also identify dry eye if their K's look irregular or if the surface profile looks irregular. And it can pick up EBMD and other conditions of the cornea that can be subtle that you can't see at the slit lamp. And it measures how much astigmatism you have, so you know whether you need a toric lens or not, or whether it's irregular or regular astigmatism. Maybe a femtosecond laser is enough, or an arcuate incision can be correcting the astigmatism versus a toric. The other critical test to get is a macular OCT. And I'm not talking about the IOMaster 700 that gives you a little tiny slice in the middle that you have no idea about what the macula really looks like. You need a real retinal OCT. You need to see if there's drusen, epiretinal membranes, vitreomacular traction, partial PVDs. Subtle irregularities, the fovea, make a big difference in the IOL that you would recommend to the patient, what technology is going to work best for that patient. Sometimes people would love to get a multifocal IOL, but their macula or their cornea or other diseases in their eye, like advanced glaucoma, that would not make them a good candidate for the technology, but you might be able to move them into an extended depth of field lens, which is a little more forgiving. Or you might just decide to set both eyes for distance or a slight mini monovision for that patient. And those two tests are super critical, as well as refraction and looking at their current glasses and then looking at their cataract to see what type of shift they've had in their vision. Because sometimes the myopic shift from a cataract, they actually get used to that. Mm-hmm. And they like the myopia that's induced by that temporarily. So you have to set the expectations and you have to have the right tests in front of you to make the best recommendation to the patient.
Obviously, you're doing a lot of the medical decision making, the exam, looking at the testing. But I think one of the barriers for a lot of folks in adopting this approach is chair time. And are you using someone to help you, to extend you? Do you have a lens counselor? What sort of setup do you have?
So we have optometrists in clinic that have kind of been trained in this philosophy. And by observing and listening, I have a fellow every year that comes in and helps once they get their feet wet in how to talk to patients and how to work them up and how to make good decisions. And we have really good surgery counselors that will then take the patient after we make a recommendation and take them through what we recommended. And then if it would, say, for example, be too expensive, you know, if they were a good candidate for a multifocal or EDO, if they couldn't afford it, they'll explain to the patient, well, you could drop down to this less costly package where you get a monofocal or a toric lens or a laser package with astigmatism correction. At least you get good distance. You'll need computer and readers. And that way, the patients are given the opportunity to invest in their vision at the surgeon's recommendation, what do you think would be the most amount of freedom, most beneficial. But if that's not going to fit in their budget, we've got other options, may not be as much freedom, but still helps them get out of glasses for some things and take advantage of some of the refractive tools we have to minimize the need for glasses. And then postoperatively, with these patients have to be watched. Some of them need hand-holding afterwards, getting used to the new vision they have or the optics. Some of them can wind up with mild refractive errors, either hyperopic or myopic or residual astigmatism, and that needs to be cleaned up in different modalities with either PRK or LASIK or IOL exchanges on many situations. So it's a whole process. So it's a team approach. And if you're going to be co-managing with optometrists within or outside the practice, it's really important to develop relationships with these doctors to make that team approach. You don't want a patient to go out there, not get follow-up, not be happy, you not know about it, and now they're complaining to their friends at, you know, their bridge game or playing golf or tennis that they're not seeing well. And then they say, well, who did your surgery? Well, Dr. Weinstock did it. Well, have you gone back to see him? No. So you want to hold on to these patients, whether it's directly through you or with a collaborative model through your existing optometrists, people within your practice, even your surgery counselors. You know, you can have somebody assigned to your practice like we do. We're doing research and it kind of blends together, but we're calling our patients that have had refractive cataract surgery and we're checking in on them at 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year. Bring them back in, see an optometrist, make sure everything's going okay, address any issues that come up.
That's so smart. I think you don't want to get the patient just through the surgery. It's more than that. And they're investing a lot of money in these procedures. They're excited about it. And then making sure that they feel like you've taken great care of them through the whole process.
Yes.
It's really important. Final pearls or pitfalls for our audience when it comes to maybe adopting this, rolling this out?
Pick easy going patients when you start doing refractive cataract surgery. Don't try to just go all in at once with it. Pick high hyperopes, easygoing patients that are good candidates in terms of the health of their eye. Set yourself up for success with that. Learn how to manage astigmatism properly. Address low amounts of astigmatism. Offer all patients astigmatism correction, even if it's low. Femtosecond lasers or a diamond arcuate incision with monofocal IOLs is a phenomenal way to get into refractive cataract surgery by helping patients get out of glasses for distance vision when they've been wearing glasses their whole life or at least the past 15 to 20 years as their eyes have aged. That's a very easy way to make patients happy. It's not just all about multifocal or extended depth of field options. It's about correcting low amounts of astigmatism, doing good testing of biometry, and getting people out of glasses for distance vision. This might be one of the biggest subsets of our refractive practice because it's this kind of the sweet spot. A lot of people want to be able to live their life without distance glasses. And it's a very reasonable thing to achieve with some simple technology that we all have. I think a lot of it's just about making sure that you don't take a patient who say, you know, you got to watch out for these low myopes, because if you just roll into things and assume things about the patient that they want to see good in the distance and you take away their reading vision that they've had or acquired over time, that can really backfire on you. And sometimes it's really easy to miss that patients have had LASIK or PRK. They forget. Unless you ask a patient, have you ever had eye surgery and a patient has LASIK, they say no. Mm-hmm. They don't even think of LASIK as eye surgery. You have to say, have you ever had LASIK? Your technicians need to ask that question because that makes a big difference of what they were preoperatively, how you want to target them postoperatively, what lens you recommend for them. So it's a complex space. It's evolving. There's the light adjustable lens now that we're using a lot. It takes a certain refractive-oriented mindset. And I think one of the things we're seeing, especially with fellowships, is that surgeons are coming out of residency and they're seeking out additional training for refractive cataract surgery and refractive-based procedures. And I think that's going to be a continued trend. And I think within the ECP family, the more refractive-trained surgeons we have, and in our larger centers, when we have true subspecialty care develop, we really have an expert in every area, even in refractive cataract surgery, to where the patients get placed in the hands of the most experienced surgeon for that specific problem they're having, instead of this model it used to be where one ophthalmologist, one size fits all. In certain situations, that works fine. But we truly, like for example, if I had a patient who had severe glaucoma, yes, I might manage it, but why would I do that if there's someone like yourself in my practice who's fellowship trained in glaucoma, knows it inside and out, is going to be able to follow them much closer, and it's part of your routine every day. That's part of it too, is getting in that routine and flow of the practice for efficiencies. So I'm always available to help in any way in this arena of refractive cataract surgery. It's always changing. There's new technology coming out. We just got the first Ally laser in our practice from Lenzar, which is the latest generation femtosecond laser has come out. So we're always trying to continue to add new technology to help the patient see better at the time of surgery.
Well, it sounds like you take great care of patients. I have family in Tampa, so I know who to send them to now.
Happy to take care of them.
Thank you for coming on and for sharing your wisdom, and thank you for offering your mentorship to people who might be interested in taking this on.
Yeah, of course. Happy to. Thanks for having me.
The opinions expressed by the physicians in this podcast are solely the personal opinions of the providers and do not represent EyeCare Partners policy.